Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome back to Behind the Veil. I'm your host, Keith Willard. It is good to be back. So today we are talking about It's Lonely at the Top. I know that sounds super cliche, especially for people that are, you know, in business and nine to fivers. But when you're an entrepreneur, there are many times that you're faced just with a whole other slew of responsibilities and just daily activities and stressors that nobody else but entrepreneurs understand. And so we're going to talk about a little bit of all that. And we actually have a guest that is coming back because we had such a good time with her last time. Her name is Kelly Ann Peck. I'll introduce her shortly. But before then, let me introduce my co-host, Marcy Gutenberg, with An Affair to Remember by Marcy. Hi, Marcy.
Hello, Keith. Welcome back.
Thank you very much.
From your little jaunt on the weekend.
Little jaunt. It was awesome. But you're an entrepreneur. Obviously, I'm an entrepreneur. My husband is a 9-to-5er. Well, actually, it's more like 7-to-7.
He has
12-hour day. But you know, he has a steady paycheck that comes in every week. He has access to healthcare. It's, you know, it's all built in to working, doing what he does. And so he doesn't always understand some of the stressors that I have when I'm like, oh my God, where's the next paycheck coming from? Where's the money coming?
Right.
You know, how am I going to access some of my healthcare, you know, needs? And it's rough. Because
we have two of us are both independent, so
entrepreneurs. Oh my God!
Yes,
and that means even more stressors in the household.
It is sometimes.
Oh my!
Over the years, you know, I mean, this year has been really good, but yeah, in the past, yes.
Yes, right, and so. I have our guest back on. Her name is Kelly Ann Peck. She is the founder of Emerson Reese Creative and is committed to helping her event entrepreneurs create their own path in life by translating her experience into actionable strategies that turn ideas into profitable businesses. Kelly Ann, it's good to have you on the show.
Hi, everyone.
Hello, Kelly Ann.
I'm super excited to be here today. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, you know what? And this is one of those things that when you were on the show last time, it's one of those conversations that we had actually after the show.
Yes.
That we're like, wait, that's a show.
That's a good shop topic. Right.
Yeah. Right? It was like the last 15 minutes we talked about. I can't remember what we were talking about because we talked about a lot of things that day. we were talking about entrepreneurship and like wearing all the hats and how lonely that is. And it is just something that is not talked about hardly ever, unless it is with your tribe, your circle of influence that you feel uber comfortable with. But it is
hard because, you know, being an entrepreneur, we're a different animal. We are a different animal. You know, we are ride by the seat of your pants many times. Many times we took the leap when we didn't really have any other backups possible. You know, I've talked to other people that said this was plan A. There was no plan B. It was always going to be plan A. Either I succeeded or I failed completely. And, you know,
last minute request.
And it's just one of those things that how do you explain to somebody, you know, that we chose this lifestyle because we want to own our own business, because we wanted to be on our own boss. And they're saying, well, you chose it. It's like, don't come crying to me because you chose this.
The grass is always greener on the other side. Hold on second. I'm wearing so many hats today. I forgot to plug in my computer and I don't want to die. give me one moment.
No worries. But you know, one of the things, Marcy, when you first started your business, when you two first started your business, I mean, those first years must have been lean years.
Oh my gosh. It not only was it a lean year, but it was also a big ramp up period because even though I was in the industry for so many years, it was a big learning curve for the niche that I was wanting to focus in on.
Right.
You know, and that plays another factor. I mean, you know, you think you know everything until you're knee deep into it.
You're in it. Well, and of course you're an invitation company. So I have to say, I don't know a lot of people that say, you know what, I want to go into business for myself and I want to do invitations.
Well, I wanted to work with couples. And honestly, that was like something that I always enjoyed, looking at invitations and seeing trends. And I think that was the reason why that pulled me in.
I got you.
Yes.
Yeah. But it's a passion.
It is.
We found really don't want to do anything else. So Kelly, when's just starting to go into business for themselves, what are some of the things that they now need to consider? I mean, the loneliness is an issue.
Yeah, I think most are surprised by it. I think when there's all different types of reasons why we start our businesses, right? Like Marcy, I agree. Half of it is you're super passionate about it. This is the thing. Sometimes it's you don't want to live and die by a boss, which I totally get as well. You want to call the shots, you know, you want to impact people. You want to do like all these amazing things, right? It just depends on what that is for you. And then you take the leap, which honestly, that's the hardest part, right? Mm-hmm. It's taking the leap.
It is.
Because I feel like as an entrepreneur on a daily basis, I think that we have to have the courage to take a leap with something in our businesses. And then you get into it and then it's like, okay, well now what? Like you're at home. You probably aren't at a co-working space yet. Yep. You're at the dining room table with your computer, doing the things, trying to figure out what your vision is, what your mission statement is, what apps you want to be on, what are the things you need to do in order to go out and physically sell your services and all of those things. And then a problem arises that somebody else used to do for you.
Yeah, like IT.
And you're like IT. IT is a really good one.
I had that problem earlier.
You learn things that you didn't know you were going to become an expert in, like a website.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because you don't know what you don't know.
Right. You don't know what you don't know. I remember my first year of business, I was like 6 months in and I got really upset because I was trying to build a sales funnel on my website.
Yeah.
And like I had done all the things. I had went down the rabbit hole on YouTube like all day long. I still couldn't figure it out. And I remember it was like 9:38 and I went, F you, footer. And I deleted my footer. And I went to bed and I got up the next morning and then I'm like, wait a minute, my footer isn't on my website anymore. Oh, and I didn't realize that if you say screw you to the footer, it goes away. It's gone. Then I had to learn how to rebuild that again. So, it's the hours of time, right?
Yeah.
Like you're not an expert in it. It's hours of time. It's all of those things. And like the five things you need to get done, you can't get done yet because you have 15 things that you have to figure out that you're not an expert in that take all the time. So it's that constant juggle of that.
Well, you know, go ahead.
I find that also like when I first got into it, and I'm sure two of you as well, when we first kind of got into this whole thing of having our own businesses, there was not a lot of resources as there is now. I mean, now there are tons of resources. There are tons of people out there who are helping you. Mm. And I mean, I'm constantly trying to educate myself because you got to stay up with what's going on, the changes that are going on, you know, the algorithms and all of those things just to kind of keep pace.
Yeah, it's the minutiae of the new shiny object sometimes. it's do I need that for my business? Or, well, everybody else is doing it, so I have to be doing it too. No, you 100% do not.
The amount of wasted money. The amount of wasted money on stuff that I did not need.
And time.
Now, I have a friend, Michael McGee, who owns Diamond Meetings. And I use Michael for all of my room blocks, you know, all my wedding room blocks, because I've learned. No, that's not my specialty. Let him do it. You know, and he's amazing at it. But, you know, one of the things that I really loved about how he started his business is that he was working. And I met him when he used to be a director of sales for Hyatt, Pier 66, and then a couple of hotels after that. But he was working at night with his own business and then working during the day at his corporate job. And then his partner started working full time for their own business while he finished, you know, building the business. And I thought, that's really smart. But I've never been able to do just one toe in kind of guy, right? I've never been that person that can wear the multiple business hats. And so I always say kudos to him because he has such a huge, thriving business now. But for those of us that jumped, you know, I mean, just the number of business cards I went through in the first 2 years.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, I mean, totally.
I think that some of the things that I wish that one of the things that obviously we want to talk about on this is also figuring out like what are the things that businesses, people that are just getting into business for themselves, really should focus on. What are the wastes and what are the focuses? Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, totally. I mean, for like my best advice, if you're starting out or anything along those lines, you don't need a website immediately. It's proof of concept. Mm. What we do as an industry, we have a lot of proof of concept. Like you can be a photographer, you can be in stationery, you can be an event planner, you can do all the things in the industry because there is a proof of concept. However, you have to have a proof of concept for your own business and know that you need to be literally out talking to the right people.
Right.
To know that you're in business. So we don't go into stealth mode of, hey, I've started a business and my mom knows and my spouse knows and like all the business is going to come in if I just do a couple of posts on Instagram, right?
Right.
It's you physically have to go out and build that proof of concept and look at like who are your biggest cheerleaders?
Yeah.
Who can you get on the phone with? Who can you get in front of and go, hey, like your person you just talked about with the room blocks, right? You know, that's not Michael. Your zone of genius. You know, you don't want to do it because you have other things to do in your business.
Yep.
You've put the pricing in to pay him to do it for you. And so you can go and do other things in your business, right? So, but we have to figure that out when we're first starting out. So it's literally getting in front of as many people as you possibly can who love and adore you and like shout you from the rooftops and know what your zone of genius is to go, oh my God, he or she's going to make my life easier. And I have to put her on my vendor list. I have to get her in front of my clients. I have to book my room block person because of the fact that he worked at the Hyatt and he knows exactly what to do. And I just don't want to do that, but it is a value proposition for my clients.
I got lucky because I worked in the hotels, you know, I was a director of catering for a hotel. So I understood the catering portion of it and understood the contract, but I can't imagine being an event planner and jumping into this and not having that background in order to understand what, you know, what all these terms, you know, that the minimum food and beverage does not mean that's your end price. That's just the minimum number you have to spend. I mean, I can't even tell you.
Yeah, that's plus, plus.
Plus, 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 plus. And I tell people all the time, I'm like, look, just because you signed a thing for a minimum, that is not your end price tag. I promise you. You know, it's always going to be based on your per person, per price, and the number of guests that you bring. You want to reduce your overall charges, reduce the number of people. But one of the things I was going to get to really at the beginning is that when you talk about proof, and being able to network with the right people. I made huge mistakes in that world when I first got into business. I was going to networking events that made no sense for me to be there. Dental hygienist networking event. I don't know. I'm just throwing stuff. It was the craziest thing. I'd just show up and I would have nobody to talk to because I didn't know anybody and I didn't know anything about what these people were networking for. I just basically said if it was a business networking event, I would go.
Until you found your tribe.
Right, exactly. It's a million-dollar question. Where can you find your people easily and inexpensively the quickest way possible?
Yeah.
And sometimes that's a really hard question to ask. Like if you know that you want to be a wedding planner, then you need to be around vendors. Vendors, hands down, are the people that are forgotten always. And they are the first people that you should be reaching out to because they are in front of all your people you want to work with. They're with the couples. They're with them planning their events and so forth. And hey, do you have a planner? Well, no. Oh, well then you need to talk to Keith. Oh, do you have your stationery yet? Because you're going to have signage and you're going to rent signage stuff from me. Oh, you need to talk to Marcy. And I think that's what gets forgotten about. It's who are the people that are constantly talking to the people that you want to talk to?
Right.
Is that so? Vendors, vendors, vendors. Like if I could give anything to anybody today, like talk to your people and with vendors that you and who you want to work with, because we know it's a 50-50 shot whether vendors are nice and they are amazing or not. So right. It's that piece too. And then it's, where are your people hanging out? Where are your couples hanging out? Which is hugely important.
Well, I tend to try to tell people that are just getting into business for themselves is go with what you know first, right? If yeah. you're yep. if you're somebody that did your sister's wedding, and I know how much other event pros hate hearing this term. I did my sister's wedding, so I decided to go into business for myself. Kill me, you know, I'm like, kill me, stab me in the eye, the whole bit. But if I'm that person, where do you start with that? Because if you go to the vendors that worked on your sister's wedding that you worked with, first of all, they're going to kind of roll their eyes and go, oh yeah, you did your sister's wedding. Uh-huh. Right. So if somebody's just going into a business for themselves because they enjoyed something they did, I think that increases the amount of work if they didn't have any kind of previous experience.
Absolutely. I mean, me myself, I mean, I was doing weddings before I started my invitation business because I had been on the side of catering as a director, as a salesperson in catering. But you know, it's just, if I didn't have that experience, that would be a total game changer. And I don't know how people, I mean, unless you're like super creative, but you're not doing, you know, you're not working with the client directly, that would be a totally different story. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I sit down with a client and mm-hmm. I say, are you doing a duo plate? Are you doing a choice of menu?
And they look at me,
they're like, what? Deer in a headlight, you know? And you have to kind of educate them that, you know, they need to talk to their caterer. They need to discuss these things because if they don't have an event planner, which they really should at this point, you know, but if they don't, they need to go back and talk to their catering person so that they can figure out how do they want to explain to their client, you know, to their guests what they're going to be having. Because sometimes you have to tell them ahead of time how many chicken, how many fish, how many beef, or whatever the case might be. You may have to make those decisions in advance and you may not have that choice on site. So you have to kind of give them, you know, some education in that aspect.
Well, and then also, you know,
sleeping rooms.
I try to tell people, be open in your experience. When you're first getting into the business, be open to experience of like, maybe there's going to be a specialty that you run into while you're starting your business that you went, oh wait, I want to do that more. Right.
Right.
I mean, a good example of that is somebody that, you know, really enjoys doing the room blocks and maybe got into it starting the event planning, like you did event planning, but then you went, I really like the invitation piece, and you allowed yourself to gravitate towards that specialty.
Exactly. It was just a natural fit for me. I mean, it wasn't like it was totally out of left field because I did want to do event planning, but I just didn't want to be there like on the day of, or I didn't want to, you know, do those aspects. I, you know, working in the hotel business, you know, sometimes we're working like 70, 80 hours a week easily, and you're turning around the next week and you're doing the same thing. So, I mean, it was just more of a better fit for me as, you know, as that was, I think, in my life at that point that I wanted to make that transition.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. So Kelly, step in here because this is your world. This is you, man. This is somebody is trying to figure out where they're going, and you're the pro at helping people figure this stuff out.
Yeah. So if somebody is a brand new planner or starting out or something along those lines, and they don't have the experience, back to the point you're making. Well, I wanted to be a wedding planner because I plan my own wedding and I love weddings and all of those things.
Right.
Which that's not a bad thing, right? If you found a passion with planning and you're a logistics guru and all of those things and so forth, that's amazing. But one of the things that you can do is literally start to look at mentors and start to shadow people. Start to, hey, can I work on an event with you? Hey, can I come in and see how you do things? Hey, like gain that experience. And it's not a bad thing to do. You know, one of the biggest things about our industry is sometimes it can be clicky. It can be.
No.
I mean, you know, we've all been there, right? What?
But it's there not high are school people, all over again.
Listen, there are people that will want to take you under their wing. There are people that are, when I was planning events and so forth, one of my big claim to fames when I was booking clients is I'm like, look, you have past catering directors, you have senior catering managers, you do not have college students working on your events. Not right. that that's a bad thing, but like literally my team would have over 100 years of experience.
Right.
Coming in because of the fact that I paid well, they wanted to come and work with me. Sometimes it's really nice just being at an event and going, what do you want me to do? And I'll do it for you. It's really nice not being the chief all the time. Right. So I love it. That's a big thing. If you're starting out wanting to own your own business, all of those things, like look to your mentors. And mm-hmm. I had mentors back in the day, all of those things. And there are people that have been in the industry for, you know, 20, 30 plus years that want to do mentorships and want to be able to help you and want you to be in a safe space to ask the right questions, to be able to do all of those things and so forth. So that's my biggest piece of advice. If you didn't, if you didn't go to college, or if you didn't have, or if you don't have a hospitality degree, or you just got into it, and let's face it, regardless if you have a degree or not, we all fall into hospitality. I don't care who you are. I was a server at a restaurant. My dad made me work for his business.
Me too.
We talked a little bit about my dad the last time, but he made me come and work for him behind a desk. And I was like, hell no, I am not doing this. I can't. And I went to go work for a restaurant and I absolutely loved it. And that's how I fell into it. And then I went to Johnson & Wales. Like, we all fall into it. It's the land of the misfit toys.
It really is. You
like this business because you like being in pressure cooker situations.
Yeah.
I.e. the dress gets torn before it's going down the aisle. I mean, the amount of bridesmaids dresses I have sewn bridesmaids into in my career.
The AC goes out in the building and you got to get it on.
The dog won't go down the aisle because there's 300 people and it's like, what do you want me to do? Like all of those things, right? Just you learn it through experience.
Yeah.
You really, truly do. And that is what it is.
Well, and one of the things is like I have an oh shit box, right? My oh shit box is no matter what happens. And basically it's a box that just has grown over time because every time we ran into a situation, we put the solution in this box, duct tape, string, name it, even shoe glue. I even have shoe glue now that I can put people's soles back on their shoes. Goodness. It's ridiculous.
That's a good one.
Oh, that is a great one. My husband just lost one of his soles on the way to an event like a week ago.
And it's amazing how many times I have to use the damn shoe glue. But one of the things that I really did when I was in my previous job before I started my own job is talk to somebody that had been in the business for many, many, many years and was just about to retire, right? And so they had a full experience of everything that it took to now and all of the things that they wish they had told themselves when they were first starting their business. Cause that's, 40 years of experience that I could dig into. And don't be afraid to ask questions. Don't be afraid to say, I'm really interested in what you're doing. I think will you help me and sit with you for an hour?
Yeah. Mentors don't have to come in, they don't have to be, your BFF, or they don't have to be somebody that you are always around. Mentors come in lots of different avenues. They come into lots of ways into your life. And it's a matter of, like you're saying, tapping into their knowledge and taking it in.
And networking organizations like MPI, ILEA, and NACE are extremely important in the event industry. And that's actually how I figured out what networking events I should finally be going to, because I've realized,
to see the dentist anymore.
I wasn't going to see the dentist. I mean, they all had amazing teeth, but it was
holiday parties weren't your jam, Keith. If you were corporate, it would have been perfect for you. But
that's what I'm saying. And a lot of it was corporate based. Those initial things were salespeople trying to make it to the next rung to get to a C-level position of some sort. And that was not my niche. I needed to figure out what my niche was. And that took just time, a lot of time. Yeah. More time than I expected, actually.
Well, we always think that niche is an overnight thing. And it's not. I mean, it's one of those things where what you start with and what you have a year. Yeah. I always love talking to entrepreneurs who are starting out and then a year goes by and seeing where they're at. And then 5 years down the road, because it's so incredibly different, because what happens is, and we all like the strategy part of the business. Like, you can be the everybody hears it all the time, right? You can be the best in the business at what you do, but if you don't know how to run a business, you will never be a CEO or a business owner. It's just the God's honest truth.
It's the worst.
And that's the other thing, besides the loneliness, we figure out, well, yeah, I went into it because I wanted to plan events or be a videographer or caterer or whatever you want to do. And then it's like, oh, but I'm the hirer, the firer, the accountant, the IT person, the delivery person, the personal schlepper, the personal assistant. Like, you figure that out. Because there's nobody, you like look to each side. It's like, oh, wait a minute, that falls on me too. Yeah. we have to figure those things out. And then you also, you half the time it's bootstrapped, right?
Yeah.
You're not funded, or you're not going after funding, which a lot of entrepreneurs don't do, and they should. They should go after funding. There are plenty of ways to do that. But again, like, you start with $1,000 in the bank account and go, okay, like, let's do this. And where I find that what happens is people want to stay in the strategy part of it. They don't want to be in the doing part of it, because it's terrifying.
Yes. It's a good thing that you said that, because I was just sitting here thinking about pride. And I think a lot of people think that when you get into a business, you don't have to do much. You can kind of sit back and it's all going to come to you. You know, this is what you're putting out your best foot, and it's not going to come to you overnight. You have to work at it. And if you don't work at it and you don't have pride in what you do, you're not going to get it back. You're not going to have that coming in.
Well, and I say, don't be fearful of reaching out to your competition. Right. Like, I'll give you a perfect example. I remember when Jamie Lippman, who is the owner of Absolute Events, I remember I did her one of her very first weddings when I was a catering manager at Hyatt. And I remember she bought herself an Audi on like at her 5 year or 7 year. I remember. And she was so proud of it. Of course, she posted all about it. But she was one of the first people I reached out to when I went into business for myself. And because why not? There's so much business in South Florida. There shouldn't really, I don't think that there's any type of real competition when it comes to that. Yes, we're going to be different price points, and yes, we're going to attract a different customer, but that's, you know, and not everybody. And that's one of the reasons I always say, it's like, look, I'm a good fit for a lot of people, but not everybody.
Right.
And so don't be afraid to reach out to your competition. I can't, like Danielle Peacock with Peacock's Catering. She relies on so many other caterers like Laura Ashley Catering, because if she can't handle something or already booked, she can refer it. Or what happens if she needs a piece of equipment that last minute, she can actually reach out to one of the other catering companies that she's friended with and get that equipment.
Yeah, absolutely. We call it the magical sales process when we're talking about sales scripts and so forth. And one of the biggest pieces that gets forgotten, and again, like, first year in business, second year in business, when you're still trying to figure out where your money-making methods are coming in, you have to say yes to everything. Mm-hmm. You say yes a lot. I can tell you, once you get into those conversations and you know what you're constantly selling, you know who your client is, what happens is you really figure out what that niche is, and you narrow down and stop doing everything for everyone.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's where it gets tons of fun, because of the fact that you know who to say no to.
Right.
And it gets forgotten. Like, we've all been in conversations where I'm like, oh, nope, I'm on vacation whenever this client wants me. I've got something I've got to do, you know, because we tend to sometimes take the check. Listen, I've taken the check plenty of times.
Yes.
In my career. And then I'm counting down the days until that client is done.
Yes.
And that is no way to live. We did not start our businesses for that reason. Period.
Yeah. Right.
But you have to get to the point where you can say no.
Yeah. I mean, invitations.
Talk to each other. Go ahead. Go ahead, Marcy.
No, I was going to say invitations is a great example. You know, early on in my career, somebody once asked me, you know, do you have every invitation out there? Well, first of all, there are custom invitations. But aside from the custom invitations, there are also companies that I work with where there are albums, there are samples and such. And if I had everything that was out there, my warehouse would be massive. So I don't think there is any one person out there in the invitation business who has everything.
Right.
But I know that if I can't help them, if there's something that they're looking for that I can't help, I know like Frank Krasny with You're Invited, I can send her the piece of business and connect with them. And that way, maybe she might be a better fit for the client than I might have, you know? So there is, it's certainly, I think, those are the relationships that you build in, you know, along the way are things that are what people are going to remember. And they may come back to you down the road for something else, but at least you've been able to help them in getting to the goal of what they needed at that moment.
And I tell people, I'm like, don't worry about where the money is coming in the first couple of years. I mean, I was waiting tables at night. I mean, I didn't care. I needed money to come in the house. I don't care if I had to dig ditches. I was going to, you know, wash people's clothes, whatever, because I had a dream and I wanted to support that dream.
Yep.
You know, and it didn't have any effect on my business itself. People didn't go, oh, well, he's also a part-time waiter. All they saw was the fact that I was a wedding planner on that side, right? What I did to support that business, nobody knew. I mean, it's small community, but not new clients. They're not looking at they only see what you present them. So don't be afraid to make money elsewhere that is not directly in your business in the first couple of years. It is fake it till you make it, baby. Fake it till you make it.
Yeah, totally. I mean, and that's why it's the importance of, and I'm sure it's like this down in Florida as well. It's very similar here in the DMV area. When you have friends, colleagues, I mean, emails will go out. Hey, I need people. Can you come and work? Can you come and do these things? I literally, back in June, one of my favorite music companies was like, will you go out at 11 o'clock and literally watch Cold Sparklers go up? And I'm like, sure.
Yeah.
I'll do that for you. No problem. And I don't do events anymore, but I was happy to do that for them. And again, like I needed staff for something that was in June. And I'm like, hey, can you give me your staff list?
Yeah.
Like, again, it doesn't stop no matter what you do in the industry or how long you've been in business. Those conversations and having each other's backs is hugely important. So when, you know, it hits the fan, you know who to call.
Exactly.
And they got your back. Important.
But you need somebody that's going to roll up their sleeves and help you out at times and vice versa.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But again, I hear you. And I love that, Keith, that you just mentioned that, right? Like you did all different types of things in the industry because you had a dream. And that's the thing. Like as entrepreneurs, it's hard and it's tiring. And some people just get stuck in the vacuum of like on the hamster wheel of doing the same thing and they aren't challenging themselves through it. They just, it's like, I'm just going to stay stuck. And we all go through that, but it's just keeping that one day at a time, moving the foot in front of the other to get there. Because if you have you have to dream. Well, as an entrepreneur, you have to dream.
And that's the thing is that only entrepreneurs really understand that this process, it's like, you know, look, if you need to figure out how to make money, ask one of your competitors, like, do you need help? I mean, even to this day, I hire other event planners to work my events. Why? Yep. Because nobody works as hard as somebody that owns their own event planning company. Nobody. Like, it's crazy. So like Anna Hass or Lisa Pierce or any of those. And I've worked for them as well. They were like, hey, look, I need you for this particular event because I need somebody that I can depend on. And it's like, great.
Yeah. No, I don't totally. Have an event.
I need money. Bring it.
Right. And that's the beauty part. I mean, when you're like building, we were just talking 15 minutes prior, but I was telling Keith and Marcy that I was down in Florida. Hi, Brooke. How are you?
Hi, Brooke. Talking about beauty.
Hi, Brooke. I'm thinking. I think my hydraulics have busted because of the weight gain. So if you see that, it's happening. It's happening.
Oh my God. Well, and Brooke totally understands this. I mean, Brooke's been with me for 4 years and she totally understands about, you know, reaching out to other people for money is money. And that's one of the things is that Brooke has made relationships with other event planners and other catering people. And she goes and works for them as well. I mean, it is at some point, if you know, we're all one really big family.
And I'm thankful for that too.
And yes, even if we're competitors.
It builds expertise. You totally understand what the other side is doing. And I find that hugely important when you are the ringmaster, being the event planner and walking through and knowing everybody's shoes. But again, like when you own your own business and you want to bring people in that you trust, like I was just out in Florida on a consulting job and I literally brought in one of my friends who lives there and I was like, hey, I need you to come take notes for me for 3 days. Because I have to be in front of this client and consult and up level and do all of these things. And I can't take my notes. And I'm like, how much money you want to make? You know, like how much, I'll pay you gas. But again, it's one of those things where you can build that into your pricing, but yeah. You have the trusted people that you need. And it was amazing. Like her coming down, she was a part of the team. My client loved it, you know, and it took the pressure off of me to try to talk to them and up level for them and take the notes and remember everything that we were going through and all of those things. So yes, like, you want to have that Rolodex where you can rely on your people. And you can find that through your mentors. You can find that through
your competition.
Mental hygienist conference, apparently.
Yep.
And don't you find that sometimes also by working with people who don't necessarily work with you every single day, but they're in the same, you know, they're in the same realm that you are.
Yeah.
But sometimes you may find that they may have a better way of doing something or, you know, or like, you know, more expeditious way of doing something. And you start adapting to taking on the way that they do it down the road. You know, I mean, those are things that we, you know, we're constantly looking at, like, how can I do something better than, you know, the
work
next
harder,
time?
Harder, not harder. I will not.
Exactly. Exactly.
Be with me. I will not do anything more than 2 times. Nope.
Right. No, totally. And it's a trifecta because you are covered. The person that's there has got your back and the client loves them. They want to be there to support you. Like, it's an amazing thing when like all the stars align, you know, with those types of things. So,
wow. And then also you want to make sure that you're going to be that good person when you're working for somebody else. Don't hand out your own business card when you're working for somebody else.
Oh my God. That's
a big no.
That is so, so tacky and disrespectful.
And we've seen it. And actually, it really caused me to stop using this somebody because they were putting out their own business card. And I'm like, look, you're representing me. And so that's what I'm saying is that, you know, you want to be a good representation of what you would like somebody to who's working for you be.
Yes.
Right. Be that perfect employee.
And if you know anything about Keith Bordymans, I will say this. Keith is a Nazi for like he tags every single person, every single vendor. Always. Yeah. And there's a description usually too as well, if not at least they're tagged at all times. So to me, I think that is a slap and a couple middle fingers in the face for someone to do that at a Keith Bordymans when he takes care of all vendors and gives everybody their due. So.
When I also let the other event planners that are working for me, I'm like, yes, please use this. You were here. You helped create this. Please, if it's something that you can put on your website, just tag me. That's all I'm asking. Just be
be a kind response. Human and
be respectful.
Yes, and be respectful. No, totally. Yeah, we Yeah, I unfortunately, I feel like that goes that goes on all over the country.
If I come in and help you, like with a piece of decor and it looks sickening, tag me. Yes. If that was your work.
Right,
it's only happened twice.
give people their due, and also it helps reduce the loneliness. We go back to this, but when you're talking to your competitors, only your competitors can really truly understand what it's like in your world. So build those friendships between you and your competition, because it's going to help in so many ways. And like recently, I ran into an issue with a past client, and it was because of my reaching out to one of my competitors that I found the right solution to handle that particular client, because they're like, oh no, I've dealt with that. Here's what you need. Here's the document. Send this to them and everything will be all right. But if I didn't have those relationships. So don't be scared of your competition. Work with them.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, again, you can talk about it with your friends who aren't entrepreneurs. They're going to come at it from a completely different realm and give some insight that you could take or leave it. But yeah, again, to your point that you just made, 100%, like been there, done that. Oh, this is what you need to do. And here are the steps and here's what you need to do. And I can support you in that way and so forth. You need those people in your life, because if you don't have them, because it is a very competitive industry, you know, you only have so many on your hand that can be in the cone of silence with you. And when we're talking about trademark, when we're talking about insider secrets, like all of those things and so forth, you need to have people that can look at it and go, hey, this is what I'm thinking, or I'm looking at using this wording, or I'm looking at doing this type of service, or I'm looking at my niche, and to be able to like physically get tried and true custom feedback versus like, oh my God, it's amazing.
It's gorgeous.
It's gorgeous. And it's like, no, I really need you to like break it down for me. Yeah. Tell me if it's good. Tell me if it's not good. And if it's not good, like, what do you think I should do with it? And honestly, just the insight sometimes, because how our circle of influence and how our people see us is very different than how we see ourselves.
Yeah.
And again, like sometimes we need to hear it, because I feel like as entrepreneurs, we don't spend a lot of time on the wins. We move on to the next. And good for the person who bought the Audi for herself 5-7 year anniversary. I am a huge believer in that. When you have a big win, you land a big contract, you're doing the things as an entrepreneur, you need to reward yourself. Go get a pedicure, go take a day off, go on that vacation, go do those things that you want to do. And you should be doing that for yourself when you do those things over and over again. We forget to do those things.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, having that confidence in that person that really truly knows you, but knows you as an entrepreneur is hugely important as well.
I wish somebody would have told me at the very beginning to reach out to pros in that particular marketplace, meaning not just event planners, but somebody that does graphic art, right? When I was doing
Art cleans teeth.
But yeah, exactly. When I was looking for somebody to do, when I was looking at my own business cards and trying to figure out the message that I wanted to get across, because really when you say proof of concept, it really starts with that business card and that handshake.
Do you remember that one business card?
Oh, so bad.
We all have them, Keith.
I'm in the middle of doing my new one, so I get it.
Oh my goodness. I'm deep in it. I know, but you know, you look back at your first business card and you go, what the hell was I thinking?
But here's
that's how I feel about my packages.
The thing to take away from that, though, is you took that first step and did, like, I'm going into business for myself. And that could be super scary.
It is super scary.
It's very scary. No guarantee.
So, you know, as tacky as that was with the bow tie, that microphone case.
Everybody thought I was a singer. Everybody thought I was like an entertainment company. It had nothing to do with event planning.
But if you didn't have that card,
Yeah.
I would not be your assistant. And I would not.
I know, but it's still, it was so stupid. It was a microphone with a bow tie. And I thought it was the cutest, fabulous, most amazing, you know, make my own business card moment. Yeah. And then 3 years into it or 2 years into it, I went,
All right, Mother Goose, what was the message?
Well, yeah, and then, yeah. And then I went to a next level and I took, and then I kept the damn microphone and thing because I thought, oh, well, that's my trademark. And then I went, no. And then so finally, when I finally got to a graphic artist, they went, what the hell is this? And I was like, well, and I think I wish that, you know, I had been a little bit more open to other people's expertise at the beginning. I was so focused on having to be successful and doing everything I could to be successful that I wasn't really listening to people's critical thoughts in a good way.
Yeah.
I was thinking of critical thoughts in a bad way. Oh, you know, they just don't want me to be successful. And that wasn't the case. They were really trying to give me their insight.
They were trying to lift you up. Yeah.
Yes.
Trying to lift you up. Yeah. I mean, the marketing and the branding is an important thing. However, how you got your clients may have been by giving a business card, but they booked you because it was Keith.
It was Keith Willard. Because it wasn't because of that card, I promise.
Right. It was because of your personality. It was because you had their back. It was the conversations and all of
those things. It was the name
of
the phone number on that said card that, you know, that's allowed.
Right. So
that's funny.
Card, totally important. Branding, very important. All of those things. But there's only one Keith. There's only one Marcy. There's only one Brooke. And that's a huge differentiator in the market. It's why you do what you do. That's what you're passionate. Like, you make your impact in the world. All of those things.
And there's only one Kelly. And that's one of the things that you had to get used to in saying, well, competition is great, but there's really no way that they can copy me. There's no way they can really copy my website or my graphics. And I do I really care if you did? You know, it's like I just did this article about, you know, people copying weddings, having somebody that came to your wedding that copies an idea and then does it at their own. And my answer was, there's no real way to copy it 100%. It's just not possible.
There's not.
But
correct.
Take it as a compliment the other way. Just turn it into some sunshine somehow.
In other words, sometimes you have to get rid of your ego to run a good business.
Or be humble.
Yes. Well, and it's running your own race. It's not worrying about what everybody else is doing, which is very hard to do. But it's literally just focusing on what's the plan. How are we going to get there? What's the end game? And just doing it versus what is everybody else doing? And oh my God, I didn't do that. Or I should have, could have, would have. And it's hard sometimes to get out of that cycle, especially when we're in a season of law, right? When it's busy and we're landing. And I mean, that's fun. That's fun part. But then we have to deliver. And then we get so busy on delivering. It's, oh, we need to go find more clients. So it's figuring out what race do you want to run? Because we didn't get into business to do what everybody else was doing. We got into business for our own reasons and our why. And that's like your why is your client's transformation. Like don't ever lose sight of that, which is hugely important.
And don't make comparisons to your journey versus somebody else. Like totally. I just brought up the fact that Jamie was able to buy an Audi at a particular time in her growth. Doesn't mean that at the same exact time, I'm going to be able to do that. And first of all, I don't even want an Audi. I mean, I'm a Kia lover. Okay. I, you know, hate me because I love my Sportage. I love my Kia Sportage, and I will probably own a Kia Sportage until the day I die because I just love it so much. And it just runs around.
I don't want a hatchback or
right.
I like a little dainty something that goes.
I mean, I have a dream car. The new one is the electric Mustang, like SUV. If you haven't seen it, it is amazing.
Okay, I can get on board with that.
And that's a dream car.
Or Lexus.
So it's a Mustang, but it's an SUV.
All electric.
Why did it take so long?
I'll have to take a look at it. But again, I love that, right? That is a goal. That is a dream. It's one thing that, again, I don't think it's talked about a lot is like, what's the end game? it's so much easier to look at what the end game is and how you want to get there and take the steps back to go, oh, okay, well, we can work the plan that way. And I love that. Like, one day if you get to that and you want to buy that for yourself, I think you should.
One day.
And again, I love Kias too. My best friend has a Kia Sportage and I love hers. But again, it's different for everybody. It's just, it's hugely important to
differentiate your path. And differentiate your path.
Yeah, because everybody's journey is different and everybody is in a different place in their journey as well. So you can't compare.
So if you say, so the math usually works out, right? In any situation. Let's talk about weddings. So all the formula is there. You're not always, the sum's not always going to be the same, though. We basically use the same formula, you know, right? Do we not? But it doesn't always equal success or excellence. Sometimes it goes above and beyond what we thought was going to happen. And sometimes it doesn't always even get to where we thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
Right. So there's the gamble, because the math, the foundation and the math is always the same, but sometimes that sum's different.
And I really wish that somebody at the beginning, I remember a couple of years ago we had somebody on the show and they really asked this, the main question was, what kind of company do you really want? Do you want a company where you're a manager and you have multiple planners below you that you manage, or are you more wanting that one-on-one customer service? Right. And I thought that was a really smart question that I should have asked myself early on. What kind of business do I want? So my business model is always going to be, I want to be heavily involved in the planning process. I don't want to manage other people. That's not the kind of company that I want. And that changed a lot of what I was trying to work for. Because the dream was, looking at some of these bigger wedding, like Colin Cowie or David Tatera, they have a huge group of people that work below them. And that's the dream. As an event planner, you're like, oh, I want to be a David Tatera. But I don't. And that was a real wake-up call for me to go, no, that's not the kind of company I that's
how can you be that intimate with, you know, when you and I love all the names mentioned. Let's talk about dropping names, Keith. But the thing is, what I love about that is because no matter how big we get, it's going to be the same structure. It's never going to go that way.
Right.
It's always going to be you and me killing it. And like, I think like the intimacy and the personality and the personal stuff that you give it, that's so important. And if you look back at the reviews and you look back at the things, that's what was a big factor in the success of all of this. Do you know what I mean? So I'm like, as much as I love corporate and money, but
how do you tell somebody, how do you get somebody to get to that point to say, this is what kind of company do you really want? Because it took me years to really hear that question, to actually hear it and go, oh yes, I get that now. I know what kind of company I really want to build. But when you're first starting out, is there a means to the end, so to speak, to figure that out? Do you think people have a rough idea, or do you think experience is needed first?
I don't think experience is needed at first. I think it's your company, your way, your rules, and your playing field to make the rules, right?
Love it.
We talk about it in the mastermind with my clients. Like, it's one of the modules that we talk about, like building your dream team. And it's, what do you want? What is the end goal for you? Do you want to sell it to your kids? Do you want to be a CEO? Do you want to have a company of 50 people? Do you want to sell it for $50 million 30 years down the road? Like, what do you want?
Right.
And some of them in the mastermind look at me and go, well, I've just started, or I'm 5 years in. I don't know what that looks like. And I'm like, well, if you don't know what that looks like, it's a part of a vision that you should be looking at. So you can build that, because to what you just said, when I figured out that I wanted it to be super intimate and I wanted it to be Brooke and I, and I didn't want to have 50 people under it, like, goals and dreams change.
We do.
Versus I want corporate culture, because corporate culture is vastly different than solopreneur entrepreneurship. Oh, yes.
Right.
Just it's different. And there's no right or wrong answer. It's whatever answer is best for you. And then it's setting a plan of action to it. So yes, we talk about it all the time when you're a client of mine. But again, it was not a question that I was asked until I had a business coach.
Right.
Because we're constantly evolving and adapting and,
correct.
And yes. making decisions based on our experience along the way.
100%. So yeah, it's what's the end game. And you might not know what the end game is if you're immediately asked that question. It right. comes with some thought with it. Like for you, Keith, I mean, again, you're a very good example of that where most entrepreneurs are with that. It's like, I'm just starting out or I don't know, or it's no, I don't want a team of 50. And I'm okay with that.
I'm okay with it. It's my world.
Right. And I'm okay with it because that's what works best for me. And that's my dream.
One brother. So, enough.
Yeah.
I'll agree with that one. I will agree with that one. But you know, look at her.
No, she's frozen.
At the beginning.
You're frozen.
Am I frozen?
But she looked cute. She looked cute frozen. Brooke looked really cute frozen. Usually when I'm frozen, I don't look that beautiful.
But I mean, I think that's one of the things that talking to a business coach early on would have saved me lots of time and lots of learning issues and curves that I ended up having to learn myself. Having somebody that was in the job of helping other people achieve their dreams makes sense.
So listen,
why didn't I think of it?
Completely frozen and lost all contact with reality and the world. So after I made the comment, you don't want more than one Brooke. What did Keith say? Because I don't have to what happened? Because I missed the spill the tea, ladies. What happened? What was said?
I said we only need one Brooke in our life.
Lies. I don't believe it.
No, he didn't.
I hope you watch it back.
You'll see. But it would have made a huge difference if I talked to a business coach early on. And maybe that's something that we can tell people, you know, when we talk about the loneliness at the top and the fact that we build, a lot of it was just trial and error.
It totally is trial and error. Like, no matter if you're Jeff Bezos or if we're mere mortals down here,
right.
It is trial and error. But I loved that you went and talked to somebody who was getting ready to retire. And be able to see the inside of that. You know, I had insight because my dad was, that's all I knew growing up. And I remember like there were days where we couldn't pay the mortgage and there were days where everything was amazing and he was building an empire and that like, that's just the ebb and flow. And everybody goes through that. I don't care who you are, whether you're a 7-figure company or you're trying to get to 6 figures. It is trial and error. It totally is.
Oh my God. Kelly, I mean, that's almost our hour. But for our podcast listeners, how does somebody get in touch with you? How does somebody look you up and say, you know what? I need a coach for myself because I'm just about to start my own business. How do they reach out to you?
Yeah. So they can reach me at EmersonReeseCreative.com. And then Instagram and Facebook is EmersonReeseCreative as well. So that's where they can reach me.
Consistency.
I know it's amazing.
I really wish somebody had told me that at the beginning too. It's like consistent. I just got lucky. I just put at Keith Willard for everything. So, you know, that made my life easier, but still consistency is everything.
It is important.
And it's really, really important. All right. So guys, I hope the show helps a couple of people out there. Hopefully, you know, that you're not alone, that we're all going through it as entrepreneurs, that there are moments of loneliness, but you know, don't be afraid to reach out to your competition. Don't be afraid to mentor. Get out to those networking associations, but find out who is proper and right for you to be networking with, because that'll be a huge waste of your time. And I can tell you that the coconut shrimp does not get better regardless of where you go for your networking event. It's always the same coconut shrimp. All right, everybody. Thank you so much. We will be back next Tuesday at Behind the Veil at 2:00. But for now, everybody say goodbye.
Goodbye. Bye.